Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we're back in the Grey Lodge. That's right, Twin Peaks. Season 2, Episode 15, Slaves and Masters. And today, you know, this one isn't as juicy as some of the other episodes. Some people might start fading out at this point. They might think, man, there's no occult illuminate confirm in any of these episodes. Well, you got to understand that they're setting the stage for the final few episodes of season 2. Okay? These next couple episodes, they're going to throttle back a little bit on some of the occult ideas. But trust me, it's going to be worth it in the end. The payoff's going to be great. So today we're going to talk about some symbolism of Pan, Owls, and Windham Earl's plans for Twin Peaks. And we're going to wrap up the James, Donna, Evelyn saga. All right. So the episode starts out with this sort of ethereal shot, the zoom in and panning of the chessboard. Right, because we talked about the chessboard and the checkerboard, how that ties into Freemasonry and the symbolisms of duality in the last episode. And we're continuing that theme. The police are over at Evelyn and Malcolm's place, and they're asking them about this mysterious man who worked on Evelyn's late husband's car, James. And they let the police think that, yeah, maybe this James guy is a reasonable suspect. But Evelyn, she's torn. She don't like how that feels, because she kind of loves James, even though she's in this relationship with Malcolm. Donna and James, they're over at Wally's hideout, and they debate if they should go to the police or not. James, he's so naive. He thinks, well, let's just go and tell him what happened. And Evelyn, you know, Evelyn told me that they were going to try to set me up and, you know, everything will be fine. But Donna, she's smart. She's like, no, you don't talk to the police. That's good. Good girl, Donna. You don't talk to the police. James thinks he can make everything happen to his will, but, you know, we all know that ain't going to work. Now, what's interesting is at the bar here, you're going to notice that there's several men dressed up in identical uniforms, and they're sort of acting in lockstep. And at first I thought these were, I don't know, like Maytag men. But then I thought it would make more sense if these were actually Air Force personnel in their dress blues, which looks like a similar outfit, right? And they're wearing the what I've heard to when I was in the Air Force referred to as the bus driver hat, not the ice cream server hat. Because if they're in the Air Force, then they're probably there to investigate the area, like the Ghostwood Forest, where, you know, Major Briggs disappeared and then reappeared and all this activity. And we saw that there's security forces from the Air Force present in the town. So that would make sense. Bobby and Shelley, they're at the sheriff's department. They're telling Truman about the whole situation with Leo. And, you know, Bobby reveals how he saw Hank shoot Leo. And Bobby's acting like a real punk. And then, because Bobby tells Truman because Truman wants to send deputies to watch after Shelley, but Bobby takes that as an insult. He's like, I could take care of her. And he's just acting like a real jerk. And then Albert shows up. Here's Albert again, everyone's favorite. And Albert, in fact, calls Bobby a punk on his way out. So Albert, he comes in, gives Truman a hug and Cooper a handshake, which, you know, Albert and Truman now have a bromance. It's official. And he talks to them about Windham Earl. Because Windham's been sending different pieces of Caroline's wedding dress to different police offices. Cole had sent Albert in. I'm worried about Coop. I'm worried about Coop. But yeah, Albert's back in Twin Peaks. And he's got all the forensics to tie up a lot of loose ends that we're going to find out. Back at Windham Earl's cabin, Windham Earl, he's still got control of Leo. And he tells Leo, he's like, oh, I've been reading up on your rap sheet. And he seems to like that Leo's a bad boy. But then he bashes him in the leg with this Navajo flute and puts a shock collar on him. Things don't look good for Leo. You know, he finally gets out of his little vegetative state, and now he's a slave over at Wyndham Earl's cabin. And the thing that's interesting is that Wyndham Earl, he's playing a flute, which gives him the appearance of Pan, right? And he even prances around with his flute and his long johns, his filthy long johns. Because Pan is the god of nature, and that's where Wyndham Earl is. He's out in the woods. He's out in nature. And he likes the woods, right? And Pan is depicted with the horns of the goat, and he's associated with fertility, spring, and sex. And this will all make sense by the end of the episode when we find out that Wyndham Earl is pursuing a female consort, which, might I add, the timing is it's about the spring equinox right around this time. So we'll see if that's an actual date they throw out there. But, you know, I think Cooper shows up at Twin Peaks, I believe, on February 23rd? I could be wrong on that. But it's around March at this point. But, yeah, it's all going to make sense because we find out Wyndham is pursuing a female consort, as Pan would, around the spring equinox, which is the ritualistic date for, you know, sexy time. And Pan's flute, I should add, is actually like multiple lengths of tubing, not just one singular. So take that for what it's worth. Big Ed and Norma, they're sleeping together. Nadine's cool with it. All right. Keep it moving. Cooper and Truman, they're questioning Josie. And there's an interesting part here, and I'm hesitant to say what I think here because I don't want to spoil any kind of plot. So if you've already seen all of Twin Peaks, maybe read between the lines of what I'm saying here. But there's a scene where Cooper goes to get coffee from the percolator. It's a giant percolator, and he opens the lid, presumably to make sure there's no fish in the percolator, right? But take a look at that percolator. Does that look similar to anything you've seen in season 3? Kind of interesting. Kind of lends itself to this whole weird landscape of, is it dream? Is it real? Is it future? Is it past? Kind of weird. Then we've got Thomas Eckhart. He calls to talk to Josie about beating up. He's like, I'm coming to get you. But Catherine Martell, she's listening in on the house landline. And Thomas Eckhart's, his right eye is blood red, like something he got socked in the eye before they started filming. But what's interesting is Catherine Martell is standing right next to a painting of an owl, right? There's those owls. Lots of owl activity going on lately in Twin Peaks. What could it mean? Back at the Confederate Great Northern, Audrey and Jerry, they're discussing, they're like, look, if Ben stays crazy, we can posture to run this business. The whole family's scandalous, right? Jerry says, one man's crisis is another man's opportunity. But Audrey, she ain't no fool. She knows that in Ben's will, she becomes the executor of the estate if he becomes incapacitated, which he currently is. But she's a good person. Audrey's a great person. That's why she's my Miss Twin Peaks. She kind of puts Jerry in his place. Is like, look, I'm running the show. If anyone's trying to take over the business, it could be me. But she goes and she talks to Dr. Jacoby, and she's like, look, we need to get Ben back. We need to get him back to his regular self. She's not trying to take the business out from under Ben. You also get to see Johnny Horn for a minute here. He was in season 1 a couple times and season 2 like once. Back at Wally's, Donna meets up with Evelyn to try to get her and to get James off the hook, right? They're still trying to finagle that. But Evelyn and Malcolm, they're not interested. Evelyn's funny. She says, she's talking about James. She says, he was good at two things, fixing cars and me. but yeah, Malcolm, he's not interested in this, none of this stuff, right? And you'll notice here at the bar, guess what's on the bar? It's an owl. Yes, indeed. owl activity picking up. So Albert, he's talking to Cooper, and he proves to Cooper that Josie is the one that shot him back at the end of season one, remember? And he proves it by showing some vicuna threads from Josie's coat matching the threads outside of Cooper's room. You know, those vicuna threads, those showed up. I just thought about that. Those showed up. Where else did they show up? Maybe that was it. At the outside the room where Cooper got shot. So, and we find out that Josie's wanted for the murder of Jonathan. That's the Asian guy who was trying to take her back to Hong Kong. And they're discussing the implications because Truman is in love with a killer. So Cooper's like, we need to make sure this is right before we cross that bridge. Truman also found out that that vagrant, his last name was Powell, which was Caroline's maiden name. And Cooper's like, you know, there's no symbolism is by coincidence for Cooper. He said, everything Wyndham Earle does is for a reason, has meaning. Truman tells Cooper that, in this scene, because, you know, Cooper's going back and forth with the chess game through the newspaper with Wyndham Earle. So Truman tells Cooper, well, look, Pete Martell, he's a chess expert. So they're going to use him to help make the right moves, because every time Wyndham Earle takes a piece of Cooper's chess board, he kills somebody. So they're trying to prevent the deaths, right? And the camera tricks are real good here. They zoom in on the chessboard at the end of that scene and then zoom out on a chessboard, which is the floor of the Double R Diner, which we talked about, I think, last episode, that parallel. So now we're at the Double R. Shelley's back. She's asking for her old job back. Yes, the band's getting back together. This feels right. This feels right. Truman tells Norma that they're going to put Hank away for the attempted murder of Leo Johnson. So Norma's like, sweet, I'm getting all with Big Ed. So things are looking good on that front. Then we get a shot of the moon. The moon is half full. We're always looking at the moon in Twin Peaks. In fact, I started watching Inland Empire, and they do the same thing. Shots of the moon. That, of course, is a Twin Peaks or David Lynch film. So Thomas Eckhart shows up to have dinner with Catherine, and Josie's going to serve them, because remember, she's under servitude from Catherine. And they start discussing what Thomas can give to Catherine, and she'll give Josie back over to him, right? She's the slave, he's the master. Thomas doesn't know that Andrew Packer's not dead. Meanwhile, James shows back up at Evelyn's house, starts making out with her. This guy can't help himself. Then Malcolm comes in and bonks him on the head. Now James is unconscious. Malcolm's like, I'm going to shoot him dead, and we're going to claim self-defense. Easy. And I was like, damn, Malcolm's right. He's got it. He's got this one in the bag. So Ben, he's still doing his Confederacy thing. And the South, you know, wins the war. And because Dr. Jacoby is playing, oh boy, who's the general from the North? Oh, I should know this. Because Ben Horn is playing Robert E. Lee. Hang on. I got to know this. Ulysses S. Grant. Whew. And Dr. Jacoby is playing Ulysses S. Grant. And they mock up an agreement that the South will win. Dr. Jacoby's Grant character concedes defeat. And then Ben passes out. And he wakes up feeling like he had a strange dream of being Robert E. Lee and that he won the war. And it sounds like the old Ben Horn is finally back. And you remember, I think it was last episode, I think we talked about this, maybe not, but Dr. Jacoby was telling Audrey that if Ben could play out, reenact this Civil War thing, and the South could win the Civil War, when in reality the North won, it would actually reverse Ben's mind processes and he would come out a new man. And that's exactly what happened. Ben comes out of it. He says, I had the strangest dream. It was incredible. And again, with that dream state of things in Twin Peaks. So the question is, did Ben Horn go through some kind of alchemy process? Did he go through an individuation process like Carl Jung would say? It's almost like he went through this process to reconcile opposing forces within himself. He confronted and then incorporated his shadow self to become whole and come back in a more positive manner, not letting the demons drive and steer his behaviors and motivations. Big things to come for Ben Horn. Okay, so Windham Earl, he's putting on a disguise in the mirror at the cabin. He's got Leo writing a note, a ransom note of some kind. But he keeps shocking Leo when he gets it wrong. I'm like, bro, he just came out of this coma or whatever, this vegetative state. Give him some time. And we find out that Windham Earl is going to choose one of the Twin Peaks girls to be his queen. And I'm thinking chess piece, right? Like, he's the king and this will be the queen. And he has this paper note with the three, I guess, candidates for who's going to be his Miss Twin Peaks, his queen Twin Peaks. That's Shelley, Audrey, and Donna. So Donna shows up at Evelyn's place and she saves James. And at this point, Evelyn has a change of heart and she shoots Malcolm instead right in the heart. Symbolic. Metaphor. And it's almost like you can hear Bob's voice a little bit when Malcolm goes down, if you listen. It's just like a slow motion, like, no, kind of thing. Finally, back at the Great Northern, Cooper's looking at his photo of Caroline that he keeps in his wallet. Windham Earl walks right by him in disguise. And he goes to the front desk, and there's these owl printouts all over the front desk for no apparent reason. And Windham Earl picks one up. And what we find out in the next scene is that while Windham Earl was in the Great Northern, he snuck into Cooper's room, placed a white mask on Cooper's pillow. Hello, just like Eyes Wide Shut. You remember Eyes Wide Shut? Which ties into Dream Novella and all these other things. So it could be that Kubrick, because there was all these parallels with Eyes Wide Shut and Twin Peaks. And here's just one more. Because in Twin Peaks, that's, you know, Nicole Kidman's character puts a mask on Tom Cruise's character's pillow. And we find out it's a mask from Caroline's actual face. And when Cooper picks it up, it triggers an audio cassette tape message from Windham. And he's basically telling Cooper, look, it's your move, buddy. And that's the end of the episode. Not a ton going on there. But like I said, it's setting it up for bigger things. So your assignment now, next episode, season 2, episode 16, The Condemned Woman. All right. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for your support. Stay woke.